Okay. Here we go. The current time is 1930 UTC, and that means it's time to begin another thrilling episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And I am drinking some tea. It's pretty hot. It's the High Mountain Gaoshan day today. And I'm enjoying it a great deal. As I sit here and I look at this postcard that I got from Publius, all the way from Mallorca. And wow, he wasn't kidding about the postage rates in Europe. That's over twice what it costs for me to send a postcard to Europe. This one coming back from Europe, man, oh man. Cool postcard though, and this is my first post from Mallorca. So, gonna set that down right over there. All kinds of good stuff happening. Anyway, yeah, gosh, I kind of don't feel like doing this today because a lot of weird stuff happened. And, yeah, anyway, I sort of had a weird night. I had a strange night, and I woke up right before dawn. And I tried to go back to sleep, and I tried to go back to sleep, and I tried to go back to sleep, but I couldn't. So eventually, I got up, ate breakfast, made tea, and by that time, it was, what, like 7:45 a.m.? No, it was slightly later than that. It was just after like 8, because I said to myself, oh, I know what I can do. Actually, this is kind of the reason why I stopped trying to go back to sleep. I said, oh, if I'm up this early, I should just go to the bank and deposit that check. Because the other piece of mail that I got yesterday, other than the postcard from Mallorca, from Publius, is I got the check. I got the check from the Luminarium gig. And I said, okay, great. I'm going to run and put this in the bank as soon as possible. And, yeah, yesterday I was thinking, is the bank open tomorrow? I know it's Saturday tomorrow being today. And I thought, yeah, I know my bank is open until like noon or 1, but I'm not sure exactly, and I'm not sure when they open. But yeah, they do like a few hours on a Saturday. So at about shortly after like 8 o'clock this morning, I went online and I checked to see when my bank opened on Saturday, and it said 8 o'clock. I said, great. I'll just jump into the car right now. And I'll take care of this stuff and it'll be blah, blah and ganana. So I drove over to the, I grabbed the check. I drove over to the bank. It's very near my house. No big deal. I pull up and it's dark. The lights are off. The door is locked. The bank doesn't open until 9. So I said, okay, fine. So I drove over to the store and I bought 2 donuts. Brought them home and I ate one while I was drinking some tea. And by that time, it was time to go back to the bank. So I jumped back in the car, drove to the bank, and deposited the check into my bank account. Ugh. Then I came back home and I thought, okay, maybe I can get some sleep. And I didn't even really try to fall asleep. I was just sort of sitting here. And then the next thing you know, it's 10 a.m. and now I can't go back to sleep. Because that'll mess things up. I won't be able to wait. The odds of me sleeping through Dubious Goals Committee are pretty damn good. So I just stayed up thinking, okay, yeah, I'll take a nap this afternoon. I'll take a nap after lunch. But can I? Yeah, I guess I could. Because at like 5, I gotta meet up with my friend Brian. And boy, oh boy, do I have something exciting to tell him. I received an unusual gift yesterday as well. It's been a strange 24 hours. I went out to eat with my parents last night, and we went over to this Mexican restaurant that's basically right across the parking lot from the Broke Down Palace. And I'd never eaten at this restaurant. It's been there for a while. It's been in business for a couple of years now, and I still haven't been there. And so that's where we decided to go. And boy, am I glad we went there, because I ordered three carne asada tacos, and they were amazing. Were they the best carne asada tacos I've ever had? Maybe. And in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say, yeah, I think they were. Oh, and they had good sauces. And oh, it was just all around excellent, excellent food. And so, yeah, I got to go out to eat with Brian tonight. And I think we might have to go to this restaurant again. Anyway, yeah, it was at dinner that I was essentially presented this gift. And I opened up the gift, and I was shocked at what I found. I just literally went, whoa, no way. Because what did I receive? What is the gift? It's right here in this box, right here. It's very exciting. In fact, I'm going to grab it and open it up so I can look at it again. Wow. Unbelievable. I can't even believe what I'm looking at, and somebody did a great job on this. Anyway, what is it, you might ask? Well, it's a game. Yes, it's a board game. I know what you're thinking. Tobe, we can understand you having a game or receiving a game as a gift, but a board game? You're not the board game guy. He's like, yeah, no, I'm not the board game guy. Except for this board game. And what board game is it? Well, it's pretty much like the first board game, or at least the first known board game. That's right. This is the Royal Game of Ur. I can't believe I finally have a copy of this. I can't believe I finally have my own version to play. The funny thing is recently I've been thinking about making my own board. Basically, what I was thinking was I'll just get a picture of the original board online, and then I'll print it out in color, and then I'll glue it to a literal board, a plank, if you will, a piece of lumber sold by the board foot. And then I'd just cut it out, and I'd have my own set, and then I could make the dice. And I can make the pieces, no big deal. Oh, good tea. But the weird thing is, the funny thing is I am very familiar with this game. I know more about it than I should. Why? Because my friend Brian had a copy of the British Museum's edition. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah, basically, the British Museum, who has the original board and the original rules and all the original stuff, I don't know, back in the 70s or sometime, or maybe early 80s, they published a version of the game, just a flat, sort of regular board, Masonite board, like a regular board game board, with a printed surface that had the playing field, and there were pieces and parts. And I actually played this game a few times with my friend Brian. And let's see, the story goes like this. When he was away in college, His older sister, got into a garage sale kick, and basically she sold off all his possessions for nothing, including his copy, his British Museum copy of the Royal Game of Ur. Wasn't ever to play it again, able to play it again. And the British Museum, they did not reprint it, and blah, blah, blah. So if you can find one of these, yeah, good luck. And so, when I heard about his set getting sold underneath him, I thought, yeah, I should make some effort into building a couple of game boards, and I could give him one. But I guess we don't need to do that anymore. Because once I tell him about this thing, he's going to need to have a copy. He's going to need to have one of these because this is a pretty cool set. This is not like the British Museum's edition. Like I said, the British Museum's edition was just a flat, like 60 centimeter by 60 centimeter standard board game board, folding in the middle with a felt hinge. You've seen them all your life. This one is an approximate reproduction of the actual board. It's 3D. It has an unusual shape. You can look it up online if you want. And this is cool. It's 3D and it's like two boxes with a isthmus in the middle. There's drawers for the little pieces to be in. Oh, it's just awesome. It's very much like the original board. Now you might be wondering, why is it called the Royal Game of Ur? Well, because it was discovered in Ur, in Mesopotamia. Yes, this game is that old. And it's a good game. I don't know what they were doing back in Mesopotamia. But yeah, it's a good game. It works well and it's highly strategic. It's not nearly as random as you might think, even though there are some dice, but they're not dice like we think of them. These are tetrahedrons. They're four-sided dice, but you don't read the number on the bottom. No, you read the number of pips you can see. And there's two colored pips on each tetrahedron, and if those pips come up, then those are your points, but or that's your roll, but it's not 1-to-1. It's tricky. Now you might be thinking, well, Tobe, why don't you play this with your friend Brian tonight? I don't know if I remember how to play completely. I do, but I remember the vast majority of it, but there's a few details I should probably look up. And the funny thing is you do not have to read the rules for this game if you don't want to. Nobody reads anymore. They just watch videos on YouTube, right? Well, you can do that. Because the man who translated the rules right off of a cuneiform clay tablet explains them on the internet. A man named Irving Finkel, who is a curator at the British Museum. You look up old Irv Finkel and you can find him on YouTube playing this game, explaining this game, talking about the game, talking about the board, talking about the rules, talking about any damn thing to do with this game whatsoever. And he's awesome. So I'm going to be watching me some Irv Finkel today. But now, here comes the halftime metadata. That's right. We are halfway into this episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. And it takes a few seconds, but right about now, if you are in the Anon Radio Room of Calm, you are seeing the halftime metadata pop up. Oh, this is my 3,000th and whatever live show and blah, blah, blah. And you are listening to Anon Radio, and you can find an archive of all these shows at anonradio.net/archive. Blah, 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 blah. So this is probably a good time to make the transition. So I'm going to grab this thing. And where's the headphones? Oh, they're already over there from last night. Ooh, okay, so we're going to get up. And we're going to move over here into the synth zone, because that's also what I was doing last night. I was messing around. The thing, the monk thing that we started yesterday, I polished that up, straightened it out. It's getting pretty good. Oh, I should also mention last night that I went up to the bar. I went up to Kaite to see if Corey was playing, because I had a request. I put a couple of songs on a flash drive and I took them up there because I wanted to hear those particular songs, one of them being Dodonpa by Kiari Pamyu Pamyu. I wanted to hear these songs over their massive PA system, and well, I looked online to see if he was playing, couldn't find anything, and then I just decided to go up there, and I waited around for an hour, and somebody did show up to play, but it was not Corey, and so that's when I went home, started working on this, and now we have the monk. And at one point in time, I did have a nice wood block or temple block sound, but it wasn't quite right. It was not actually a temple block, but it sort of sounded like one. And I've been messing with that, and I messed with this, that, the other thing I messed with. I ended up having to put a VCA on the monk. And then I added some modulation for that, so it sort of sounded like he was saying separate words. And then I took the solar panel out of the filter so I could filter the monk. And then I added some reverb. And now the monk sounds like this. And there's a slight variation too. Some great stuff. And listen to all that reverb. Clearly he's deep in the temple. And if we wanted to make him sound further away, we just turned down the filter a little bit. Yeah, but now the thing is too loud. Which one is it? Not that one. That one. He's deep in a cave, chanting, and every once in a while we get little pew's. And we can add some bass. But yeah, there's other potential percussion to go along with it. Let's unplug that and plug it into here. Obnoxious. Yeah, so let's go back to two-tone. So fun. Yeah, so basically what I did was I incorporated the switch, the magic sequential switch, clocked that up, and then I put a couple of offsets into it. And as it goes through by word, let's crank this one way up. I'm just adjusting the filter a little bit here too. He's chanting the secret name of God here, right? And the other funny thing is, if you stop this in a random spot and restart it, because, well, yeah, it's just different. You get a slightly different pronunciation of the word. And I'm going to tweak it a little bit more. Good stuff. This might need to slow down a little bit. But to do so is kind of a pain. And I gotta re-clock everything. And then do some clock divisions because the twinkly dinkly is very fast and on the master clock sequencer. So that would have to. I also have a small piezo trigger plugged into the reset of the switch, so I can just tap to reset.
AI
which is also sort of interesting. And that sort of makes me realize how to go about making this even more speech-like. Turn the bleeps off. Huh, now this is giving me some other strange ideas. Some strange ideas that I can't execute because all the pieces and parts are being used for this other thing, which is still cool, but... Yeah, I should write this down. Here's a fun experiment to do later. What happens if we do this? Yeah, you can do all kinds of fun stuff with a synth. You should run out and buy a synth right now. But yeah, now the weird word sounds all weird. So can we get it back to doing Iowa? Did that reset? I think so. Oh, we gotta turn that modulation back on. Sounds pretty tasty. Sounds pretty important. Sounds like somebody's talking about something that is a thing. Anyway, can we turn that up? Let's start it up. Does it go all the way down? Kind of. But it just occurs to me. We got this going through the filter now, so we can kind of use the filter to attenuate that. So, yeah, we got the chanting monk, and he's... I can still hear that hung. He's just chanting away, doing his thing as he's hitting his little temple block, which still doesn't exactly sound like a temple block, but it's... It's better than nothing. And for a while there, I had it on a kick drum, but... That didn't sound good. It sounded okay, but I wanted to get away from it for various reasons. Now, if I had another sequencer, and I think there's one unused upstairs that I could bring down here, we could clock that to quarters, and we could do some syllabic work. But that's not going to happen today because you have been listening to The Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every damn day at 1930 UTC right here on and on Radio Iowa.